Welcome to Walking Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 16 called The Seduction of Samson.
And so he walked the edge and he got closer and closer to the actual secret until finally he gave it away. If my hair is cut, I'll be like any other man. The long hair was a sign. It was probably the sign of the Nazarite vow. It was one way that your physical appearance did make you stand out. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines saying, "Come up at once, come up once more. For he's told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Show me the money. Because that was what she really wanted. And so they come up and they're excited and she's excited. She couldn't wait to pick up the phone and tell them, "Oh, here it is." And so the payment is made. The money's there, right? And she made him sleep on her knees. She said, "Go to sleep on my lap, sweetie. Everything will be okay." She was probably stroking his hair. "Go to sleep, my darling," right? "It'll be okay. You've shared your heart with me, sweetie. You became so vulnerable. What a wonderful thing. Now I know you really love me." Uh-oh. Well, hiding in the back corner was Bob the Philistine barber. So she called for a man. Some commentators believe that the call was to Samson to see if he was actually asleep. But I think the language would be that there was somebody there. She called when Samson was asleep and he was sleeping on her lap. She called for the man. He had him shave off the seven. You can see seven is an important number in our Bible, right? It's symbolic for what? Completion, perfection. Samson had experienced, you could say, the complete power of God. He was complete in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they cut his hair, his locks of hair, all seven. And then she began to afflict him as his strength left him. The NIV puts it this way: having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. I get the picture here that as this happened, other Philistines were waiting, and then they took the ropes, and they began to bind Samson. Cut his hair, and, you know, she seems to be part of what's going on, the woman that was supposed to love him, right? And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times and shake myself free," because he had done it so many times. He had done it three other times just in this interaction with Delilah. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. I was sitting at my desk and thinking about Samson, and I was trying to envision a modern example. And I know this gets a little touchy because in the church, a lot of us hold to a position called eternal security. And once we're saved, you know, nothing will separate us from God's love or seal for the day of redemption. And that's really a position that I've held for many years. But I was trying to envision a pastor, because that's my world, who's fallen to sexual sin and is trying to recapture desperately the power that he once experienced in the ministry. But he gave himself over to Delilah, and now the heights that he experienced in the ministry, maybe even taking it for granted that God's power would always be there to give him wisdom, to help him pray for people, to preach, whatever it might be. Remember, this is my world. You can apply this to yours as it's apropos. But I was thinking of a pastor who maybe then decided, after falling sexually, you know what? And maybe he was asked to step out of the ministry because he should. And now he's somewhere in the background. He's Samson with no power. Can you imagine? This man had experienced the power of God like few others who have ever lived. And now he's like any other man. Let me ask you, Samson, how is it? How is it? Is that really what you wanted? Let me ask you, Israel, when you're in 70 years of Babylonian captivity, because you wanted to be like the other nations and you wanted to worship their gods, how is it? You want to go back fishing, Peter? How is it? Can you imagine Samson, you know, how many times he was able to just experience a rush of the power of the Holy Spirit, and now it's not there. A man who thought he was untouchable, a man who walked the razor's edge, finally, when he apparently compromised with wine, he compromised by touching dead carcasses of animals, and now the third strike. Now he's cut his hair, and God says, that's it. The power's gone. And he didn't even know that God had departed from him. You know, when David prays in Psalm 51, and he's had that fall with Bathsheba, David knew the story of Samson, and David had also watched the Lord depart from Saul, the king right before David. And after David fell with Bathsheba, he prayed, "Oh Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 51. You can imagine the gravity of that. And here's Samson now, and he's got no power of God. He's like any other man. And now, two or three Philistines, along with Delilah, manhandle him like he's nothing. He's like any other man. Let me just say to you, as a Christian, and this is the application to the church, sometimes we feel the pull of what Samson experienced. The world, it can be attractive. The carrots dangle. The forbidden fruit is there. And sometimes everything in you wants to take a bite. But you better think before you bite into that fruit, before you walk down that road, because others have walked it before. And you won't be the exception. Samson thought he was. He violated his Nazirite vow. Maybe he was tired of it. And now the man who knew God's power like few others has fallen hard. Even when a leader is used mightily by God, says one writer, his life can end up in personal tragedy if he makes personal gratification his priority and never understands his role in God's plan. We cannot take things for granted. David's prayer about the Holy Spirit is Psalm 51, verse 11. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I wrote in my notes here, oh, Lord, no, please, Lord, never. I would never want to be in a position where I went from knowing your presence to not even knowing that you had left. Then the Philistines seized him, and you can see how nice they wanted to be to Samson. They gouged out his eyes, which is something that happened to Zedekiah in 2 Kings 25. And it was common in warfare that they would do something very nasty to you if they took you as a prisoner. And Samson had done a lot of damage to the Philistines in terms of just a back and forth war. And so the first thing they did after they bound him is they cut his eyes out. And his eyes were his problem, right? There's a bit of poetic justice there, sad as it is. They took his eyes. He's now blind. The man that once could overpower an army is now bumbling, groping around. He is sightless, powerless, and godless. What a terrible place to be. But he's like a lot of people walking the planet right now. Blind to the things of God, powerless, without God and without hope in the world. But this is Samson. And so they brought him down to Gaza. bound him with bronze chains, and of course he had no strength. And he was a grinder in the prison. A grinder of grain. Interestingly enough, the god Dagon was the god of grain and fertility. This is one way to mock Samson, to make him a grinder. There's two ways they could grind grain. I was reading a study Bible that said at this time it probably wasn't large animals doing it. It was probably the work of women. And so they've made him now grind grain and do the work of a woman, probably to humiliate him, like, you're a sissy, you're nothing. Now, I'm not, women are strong, don't get me wrong, you ladies, because I don't want to make you mad tonight. I want to be wise.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk, or maybe you're doing the dishes, anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're already listening on podcast, please do us a favor and spread the word about Walk in Truth. Click that share button and share today's episode. Really appreciate you. God bless.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Women are strong, don't get me wrong, you ladies, because I don't want to make you mad tonight. I want to be wise. But I think if you arm wrestled a guy, if you're a wife and you arm wrestled your husband, I hope he would win. If he doesn't win, he's pathetic, and you might want to pray harder for him. I don't know. No, it's just a joke. Sort of. Can you imagine Samson's over there with some little tool, blind? That's his life now. The great judge of Israel. Yeah, he's over there. He can't. Yeah, I'll be like any other man. It'll be great. I don't think so. So there he is, shackled, grinding in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, maybe an annual festival, to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, 24. And they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. Look at him." And so it happened, when they were in high spirits, party was going on for a while, they said, "Call for Samson, that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. And I don't know what was going on there, but the Hebrew word here means to amuse, and it has a nuance of profanity and what's unseemly and vile. And maybe it's going in both directions, and it may have been something like this. I'll read my notes to you. Here's Samson, the hapless entertainer. Here he is. Yeah, put him between the pillars of our God's temple. Look at that weak, pitiful fool. You who are going to destroy our people. You who killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. You! Look at you. You're pitiful, blind. A little grinder is what you do now. Our God's better than your God. Our God's greater than you, your God. Can you hear the words? You destroyed our gates. You carried them away up to Hebron. Now you're a joke. Can you see Jesus on the cross? You who said you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. And they were wagging their heads and they were spitting at him. There's the typology. And Jesus, of course, became human and was treated that way because he did it for us. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, you can see how weak he is, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean." The Hebrew word is samak. It's the same word used that when you lay the hands on a sacrificial animal to confess sin. It might imply some repentance here. Let me lean on those pillars. And the pillars seem to be like close together in some of these Philistine temples. Let me feel them. Let me lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. And Samson called to the Lord. By the way, this is only the second time we hear Samson pray in the account. The first time he prays, it's because he's thirsty. This time he prays, not, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You know what he asked for? Give me strength that I can push this house down. Let me get avenged for my eyes. Oh, Lord, like many of the Psalms say, please remember me. Please strengthen me just this one time, oh God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now remember, God had chosen Samson to deal with the Philistines. Just this one more time. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, braced himself against them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And he pushed, and the strength of the Lord came back. Now remember, his hair was just a symbol. The strength was the Lord's. And I think that maybe what's implied here is Samson said, if I could, I'll let my hair grow out again and recommit myself to that vow. But I think he had a sense that his life was over. And so in his dying prayer, he lays down his life. One writer says, to bring low the God of the Philistines is perhaps Samson's real contribution to Yahweh's purpose. And thus his achievement is not a physical one, but a theological one. I told you about the typology between Samson and Jesus. And then his brothers and all his father's household, final verse, came down, took him, brought him up, buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. And thus he judged Israel 20 years. Just a final sentence from a commentator. There in that dark, miserable, degrading prison, God reclaims his wayward child. Samson, God's servant at the end, as he was in the beginning, his death is glorious in a fashion, but we are left wondering how much more glorious a servant of God he might have been if only he had embraced his calling instead of resisting it. I wonder tonight how many Christians and maybe even leaders are lying in the lap of Delilah and thinking that they are untouchable. Don't do it, man. I would just highly encourage you, run from sin and run to God, and you will find everything you need in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this timely word. It's a sobering story. But we celebrated in Hebrews 11 that Samson is there. It's actually Hebrews 11:32. Samson's faith and strength is celebrated there. And thank you that I know this can hurt for those who have maybe had some big failures in life, but Samson in the book of Hebrews is not defined by his failure, but by his faith. And I think Samson probably is close to a lot of people walking around where there's just a struggle. I wonder if Samson slept with that prostitute, Lord, honestly, before you as I pray, because he was reeling from the rejection of his wife. I wonder if he justified it and said, well, you know, I didn't get to be with my wife. She's with my best man. So he justified it like we often do. Forgive us, Lord, for that. But we are frail. We can find ways to justify things before you. Help us be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. Give us wisdom to sniff out Delilah's in quotes that lurk in our lives so that we don't play with fire, so that we can be men and women who finish well. So many of the Bible characters started off well, finished with a whimper. Oh, Lord, to be consistent, to run the race fully, to cross the finish line is what we desire, and we know we need all the help we can get. So please pour out that help by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight upon us. We need it. I just want to ask you to just search your heart if you want to pray something specific to the Lord about doing business with him or getting right with him. Do it now. Now is the time. And if there's something that you need to do personally in your life to act upon the wisdom that's here, I pray that you would act upon it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to The Seduction of Samson, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 16. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lance. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with the final word.
The story of Samson is certainly a compelling story. I remember hearing it years ago as a younger Christian and really being impacted by the weight of decision-making and how a man can have such great potential and have such a terrible ending, even though ultimately he accomplished what God had for him. It was at great expense for Samson, including his freedom, his eyes, and his very life. And, you know, when you think about your life and you think about, I don't remember what the percentages are off the top of my head as I sit here in a studio, there are many stories in our Bibles where someone started well and ended poorly. And there's more of those than I think there are started well, finished strong, or started poorly and finished strong. Those stories are there. And because he who began a good work in us will complete it, that's our hope, right? But we have a part to play in that. Our decisions that we make, they make a difference. I remember years ago hearing someone talk about the fall of a pastor, and they were saying, how do you make the salt salty again? And that's a question that we got to think about. When we make decisions, what are we going to do? How do we want to live? We have to have a bigger picture in mind, and we get tunnel vision when we are seduced by sin. And that's what happened to Samson. That's why I called the message The Seduction of Samson, because ultimately Delilah seduced him and he thought he could handle it, but he couldn't. And God provides a way of escape, as we see in 1 Corinthians 10:13, but we must take it. This is Pastor Michael Lance, and we're moving through some chapters in the book of Judges, and we're going to go and fast forward to the last chapter of the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Oh, how contemporary and relevant is that? And I'm going to leave it for you to think about as we will look at the theme of the book and one of the major theme verses, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Hey, share this with a friend. If you have the app, you can pass it along. You can tell a friend you're listening. And you can also communicate with us through the website or app. Do that today. We'd love to hear from you. And Lord willing, we'll see you here tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes.
I got a chance to visit Living Truth in Topeka, Kansas. And I had done a wedding in Oklahoma. And we have a small church plant in Kansas. And a wonderful couple leads that fellowship, Eric and Melissa Patterson. Eric is the pastor. And so I was going to be, you know, within hours of a drive. So I drove to Topeka and drove through a lot of small towns with not such great light. And I made it there. And I was going through something personally, and I went to the pulpit. I was invited to share a little bit. I wasn't preaching the message, but I was just there, you know, visiting. And I went up to the pulpit, and all I could do was cry. I was like a blubbering mess. And I was going through something personally. It wasn't that big of a deal in the end, but I just was crying, and I apologized several times, and I couldn't even get it together. And so I came back and I shared it with somebody, and somebody said, "Pastor Michael," and I think they wrote me a note, "maybe what those people needed was your tears."
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.